Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Samaches, and we will begin at the beginning of Daf Samaches, Amud Aleph, the Bei Rabbi Yishmael Tanam. We learned in the previous shiur in the Mishnah that in a woman's life there are three cycles regarding Hafaras Nedarim. As long as she's a Nara, or maybe even younger, and she's under a father's jurisdiction, her father is made for her Nedarim himself. When she becomes mureses, provided that she's not a bogeres, her father and her husband are meif in the dorm together. And when she becomes a nesua, her husband is meif for her nedarim by himself. Makes no difference what her age is. The Gemara in the previous year discussed how do we know this halacha of a mureses that her father and her husband are mefa hanadarim together. And the Gemara quoted Rava, who said the Pasuk, as we read it in Parashas Matos, Pasuk Zayin, says, v'mhoyasiyah le'ish. And Rava said that that Pasuk comes to teach us that the previous psukim spoke about a girl who's single, whose father is mefa the nadarim by herself. And v'mhoyasiyah le'ish begins to speak about a girl who's mureses, and she, her father and her husband are made from the Dharam together. The Bei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, the Bei Rabbi Yishmael has a different source from where we know that a girl who's mureses, her father and her husband are made from the Dharam together. Because the Pasuk says, Ben ish le'ishtoi, ben av le'bitoi, mikan le'nara hamurasa. From here we see that a nara hamurasa, shavio balam mefin the rest. Since the Pasuk speaks about husband and wife, father, daughter, all together, to teach us that the husband and the father are meif in the darim together. And as the Rishonim explain, why does Rabbi Shmuel say that this pasuk is referring to a mureses? Perhaps we should explain that the pasuk is referring to a nesua, and the Torah is teaching us that a nesua, her father and her husband, are meif in the darim together. So there are two explanations given by the Rishonim. The Ran's explanation, which is the fairly simple explanation to understand, and actually we discussed this concept in the previous year, is that a girl who is in a sewer is completely out of the jurisdiction of a father. So how could one even suggest that a father should still have rights to be made for her in the Durham? So if the Pasuk does say that the father retains some rights, it doesn't make any sense to say it's talking about in the sewer. That's one approach. The Rush, following up on what we discussed at the end of the previous year, said since we know that the Torah differentiates that by a nesua, the husband does not have the ability to be made for bekoidman, the darm that she has from previous to her nesuin, whereas that thing doesn't apply by arusa. So there's obviously a difference between an arusa and a nesua, and therefore we're going to say that this pasuk is speaking about an arusa. Ask the Gemara, Ulatana de Bei Rabbi Yishmael. According to the Tana de Bei Rabbi Yishmael, the pasuk that we mentioned at the beginning of our shir and discussed in the previous shir, that Rava uses to teach us that the husband and father of Amurasis are mefer in the dorm together. The pasuk v'mhayusil ish, that Rav Yishmael doesn't need that pasuk to teach us that the father and husband of an arusa are mefer hanadarim together. My avodlei, what will he do with that pasuk? Answers the Gemara, mukim le'idach the Rava. He will use that pasuk to teach us the other din that Rava taught us, which is, as we're going to learn, that in Mitzvah Shem, later in the perek, that if a girl is a mureses, that the father and the husband are mefer hanadarim together, and then her husband either dies or divorces her, she reverts, as long as she's not a bogeres, she reverts back to her father's rishus, that the halacha is that when she's in her father's rishus, her father is made from the dorim alone, even though she was once a mureses. And that's the way to understand the pasukim, hayosia, a double wording, hayosia, to teach us that she could be a mureses and then be under joint jurisdiction and then lose that status by her husband dying or divorcing her, and she goes completely back to the jurisdiction of her father. Says the Ran, according to Rava, who used the pasuk v'mhayusia li'ish to teach us that a mureses, there's joint hafara between the husband and the father. So what is he going? How does he learn both halachas? So the Ran says it isn't a problem for Rava to learn both halachas from this one pasuk. Both the halacha that we said in the previous year, that the father and the husband of a mureses jointly are made for her in the darim, and the halacha that we just discussed. So according to Bishmol, the pasuk will only teach us one din. The pasuk will only teach us the din of her husband dying or divorcing her. And according to Rava, the pasuk will teach us both din. Says the Karen Oira, in our previous year, we said that the Gemara said that the pasuk from Hayasiyah cannot be coming to teach us, must be coming to teach us, rather, that the husband and the father jointly are made for the Nedarim of Arusa. Because if the halacha were that a father is made for by himself, we have an extra parsha. What's the extra parsha? That the first parsha, the Parshas Matos, teaches us, as we said at the beginning of today's shir, that a girl who's still single is solely under the jurisdiction of a father. If the Torah teaches us a new parsha, then Hayasiyah, it must be to teach us, not that the father is made for himself. Because if a father is made for himself when she's an Arusa, I don't need to tell us that when she's single, the father is made for himself. So what's Rabbi Shmuel going to do with that piece of Gemara? So the Karen Oyre answers that Rabbi Shmuel will teach us that the Parshim Hayasiyah could be interpreted that the father is made for himself. We have a Kasha. If the father is made for himself when she's an Arusa, why must the Torah also teach us that he's made for himself when she's single? If he's made for himself when she's an Arusa, certainly he's made for himself when she's single. Says the Karen Oyre, the way Rabbi Shmuel would answer that question is that he would say that although the father is made for himself by when she's an Arusa, the din of what he could be made for is different when she's an Arusa versus when she's single. And we discussed this yesterday, and we'll discuss this more soon. That Rabbi Shmuel would argue that a girl who's completely single, her father has the right to be made for any nether she makes. Whereas the Pasuk v'mhayasiyah, he says, would teach us that the father continues to be made for himself, but now he only has the right to be made for the darim that are beinoy lebeinah, that reflect their relationship, or in a nefesh, that cause her pain. And that's why I need two separate parashas. But the Pasuk does not teach us that the husband also plays a role in being made for Nedarim. Only, says Rabbi Shmuel, because I have the pasuk of Ben Ish Leishtoi and Ben Av Lebitoi, do I know that the husband plays a role and also jointly is made for Nedarim of Darusa. However, now ask the Gemara, Rava, who learned the din, that a husband and a father of an Arusa are made for Nedarim together, so he doesn't need the pasuk of Ben Ish Leishtoi and Ben Av Lebitoi. What is he going to use that pasuk for? Rava Haida Tana Debei Rishmol Mai Avadlei. What's he going to use that pasuk to teach us? Answers the Gemara Mibayle Loimer Shabal Meif Nedarim Shabeinoy Lebeino. The pasuk is teaching us that even though the husband has the right to be Meif Nedarim, he only has the right to be Meif Nedarim Beinoy Lebeino, Nedarim that affect their relationship, and the Dharma of Inu Nefesh that cause her pain. Says the Ran, now a few points the Ran makes. According to Rabbi Shmuel, that uses the Pasuk to teach us that the husband is made from the Dharma together with the father when she's an Arusa, where will he notice then that the husband's ability to be made for is limited to certain the Dharma? Says the Ran, Rabbi Shmuel is going to say that we can learn both halachas from this one Pasuk. Both the halacha that the husband and the father are made for together, and the halacha that what nedarim is he made for? Only nedarim of inyan nefesh and beinoy lebeino. Goes on the Ran to say, since we're saying that this pasuk is teaching us that the husband is limited in the nedarim that he's allowed to be made for, only nedarim of inyan nefesh and beinoy lebeino, and the pasuk, as we began this year, compares the rights of the father to the rights of a husband. So the father also says, the Ran, and he quotes a Sifri that actually says it, can only be made from the Dorim, Beinoy LeBeino, and Inui Nefesh. But ask the Lecha Mishnah, yesterday we quoted a Machloikas Rishonim. There are Rishonim that say that a father only, just like a husband, only has the right to be made from the Dorim, of Beinoy LeBeino, and Inui Nefesh, so too does the father only have the right to be made for those types of nedarim. And this Gemara works very well with that opinion, the opinion of those Rishonim. However, we quoted the opinion of the Rambam, who in this halacha is a Mekel, and says that although the husband is limited in which nedarim he may be made for, a father can be made for all nedarim that a daughter makes. Asks the Lecha Mishnah, isn't our Gemara a clear indication that the Gemara is comparing a father to the husband? And if by a husband, everybody agrees, because it's Pesukim, that he's limited in which Nadarm he can be made for. Only Nadarm of Beinoy LeBeinoy and Inan Nefesh. If the Torah compares the father to the husband, so shouldn't the father also only be allowed to be made for those Nadarm? How will the Rambam understand our Gemara? Says the Lecha Mishnah, that we need to re-understand the Rambam. That even though the Rambam is saying that the father has a right to be made for all nedarim of a daughter, that's only the daughter who's single. There the Rambam is mekel, is lenient, and says the father has a right to be made for all types of nedarim. This Gemara, this pasuk, is referring to an arusa. And the Rambam is going to hold that by an arusa, the father's rights to be made for become more limited, and he only has the right to be made for nedarim beinoy lebeinoy, and Inui Nefesh. So we sort of limited the leniency of the Rambam. Continues the Gemara, Ibayiluhu. And the way the Rishonim and the Achroinim explain the Gemara is as follows. We've been learning already in the previous year and today's year that a girl who's an Arusa, her Nedarim are released jointly by her father and her husband. And now the question is, the Gemara's question, the Gemara assumes, says the Karen Oira, that both of them are vital parties. There are Rishonim that want to suggest that the father is a more important party because she was in his home till now, and as an Arusa, she still remains in the home of a father. She hasn't left his home. There are Rishonim that want to suggest that actually the husband is the more important party because, as we've said so many times, halachically, an Arusa is considered an Eishes Ish. And halachically, she's about to go and leave her father's home. But our Gemara, says the Karen Oira, and that's perhaps what the Yerushalmi wants to suggest, but our Gemara seems to understand, and it's the easiest way of understanding the Gemara, that they're equal partners to a degree. But we need both of them to be made for the nether of the Arusa in order for the nether to become null and void. And the question of our Gemara now is, what are the mechanics of this hafara? Ibayiluhu, Baal Megiz Gaius or Miklash Kalish? The first one to be made for the nether, what does he do? Does he cut it? We'll explain it better in a moment. Or does he weaken it? Megiz means that he cuts, Miklash means that he weakens. Hechik Gaim Ibayiluhu. It says the Gemara, exactly what are you trying to say? It says the Gemara, Kigoin the Nodra betrays Faisim. There's a girl who's an Arusa, there's a woman who's an Arusa, made a nether that she will not eat two kazesim of a certain food. V'shama oris v'hefalo. And her husband heard her make the nether, and he's made for that nether. And now v'ochlo. Now she eats these kazesim. Iyamina megas gayas. If we say that what does the hafara of the first party, in this case being the husband, but as we're learning the Gemara, it could have just as well been the father. Megas gayas. He cuts the nether in half. Lakia, she'll still get Malkus. Why will she still get Malkus? Because the nether was that she's not allowed to eat two kazesim. The hafara of the husband cuts off half, But this, so one kazayis is mutter, and one kazayis is asr. So if she'll eat two kazayisim, she'll be, still get malchus for violating her neder. But if on the other hand we say, a miklish kolish, if we'll say that the husband accomplished, what the first afar accomplished, is that it completely weakens the neder, so now we don't have a neder with the same strength that a neder normally has. And here is Surah Balmahu. Even though normally a neder is a very strong isser, as we're learning already, so many blot of this mesechta, and therefore the halacha would be that if somebody violates a neder, they get malchus. Here, this neder became weakened by the afara of the first party, and it's no longer a neder that can be subject to somebody getting malchus for violating it. Says the Ran, that even according to the first understanding that we said that the neder is cut, and therefore she could still be a candidate for malchus, the Ran says she has to eat both kazaisim. Why? Because the Ran says, we don't know which is, there were two kazaisim that are asr. We don't, the husband by doing the first afara cuts it in half, but we don't know which is the mutter and which is the asr. The only way for her to possibly get malchus is by eating both kazaisim, and then we know for sure that she ate the kazayis, that's asr. And the Shamin Adarim takes the point of the Ran one step further. He says, not only must she eat both kazaisim in order to get the one malchus, she has to eat both kazaisim together. Because we know the halacha is that before somebody gets a punishment, before someone gets malchus, we have to give them asra. So if she's going to eat this kazayis and this kazayis separately, we can never give her a hasra because we don't know which is the kazayis that's mutter and which is the kazayis that's asr. So according to the Shama in the Dorim, the only way she could be over and get malchus is that she should have both kazayisim in front of her and be prepared to eat both kazayisim. And we tell her that if you're going to eat both kazayisim, you're certainly eating one of the kazayisim that's asr. We just may not know which one, and you'll get malchus. The Rashba and the Meiri seem to take somewhat of a different approach than the Ran. They agree that in order for her to be chayiv malchus, she has to eat both kazaisim. But the Ran seems to learn that she made a neder in two kazaisim. Then there was a hafara from one of the parties, either the father or husband. One kazais is mutter, one kazais is asr. I just don't know which is the mutter kazais and which is the asr kazais. The Rashba and the Meiri say, each kazayis has in it 50% heter and 50% isser. Because each kazayis, half of it was, the isser was removed by the afar that took place. The other afar that didn't take place, the isser wasn't removed. So each kazayis is half mutter and half asser. So for her to be chayiv, she has to eat both kazayisim. She has a full kazayis of isser. But ask the Rashba. Here, it's obvious from our Gemara that in order for someone to get malchus for eating something that they're not allowed to, with an issa neder, they have to eat a kazayis. Ask the Rashba, is that the halacha? If somebody makes a neder that they're not going to eat a food, do they have to eat a kazayis to say that they're over the neder? Who says? As soon as they eat any of the food that they're not allowed to, they're over. So the Rashba says three terutzim to this question, three answers to this question. One answer, he says, it's actually a machloikas amaroim. To be chayiv malchus for violating a neder, do you have to eat a kazayis or not? And Al Gemara is taking the safe bet and saying that everybody agrees that if you eat a kazayis, you're over. And that's why the Gemara doesn't want to get involved with that shaila. That's one teretz the Rashba gives. Another teretz the Rashba gives is that even though there's a machloikis regarding nedarim, if you have to eat a kazayis in order to get malchus, or even if you eat less than a kazayis, you'll get malchus. Regarding a shvua, everybody agrees that you would have to eat a kazayis. So our Gemara is not necessarily only speaking in a situation where she made a neder. It could be in a case where she made a shvua. Where there, everybody agrees she has to eat a kazayis. So the Gemara to stay, being able to refer to a shvua also, speaks about a kazayis. That's the second teretz. The third teretz that the Rashba gives is that we discussed earlier in our Masechta the concept of Yesh Mila B'Kanamis. That there's a man da'amah that says that if somebody says that they're not allowed to eat a food because it's Kainim being a Hegdish, it becomes like hekdesh, and if you eat it, you chayiv a karban me'ilah. A karban me'ilah, you never chayiv unless you ate a kazayas. So our Gemara is going according to the man, the Omer, that says that if you worded your nether, if you verbalize your nether as a kainim, you chayiv a karban me'ilah. And a karban me'ilah, you have to eat a kazayas, and that's why the Gemara speaks about a kazayas. Ramea Arik asks a different question. He says that the Gemara could have perhaps said that the question is referring to a different situation. The nafgamina, if it's megas gaius or miklish kolish. He says it could be referring to the following situation. He says, let's say we have a situation where the woman made a nether that she's not allowed to eat two kazaisim of a certain food. And then one of the parties, either the father or the husband, was mefer. So one of the kazaisim becomes mutter, and the other kazais is asur. And then there's a third kazais here that was always mutter. So if we say megas gaius, and they all get mixed up together. So if we say megas gaius, we have two kazaisim that are mutter, one kazais that was always mutter, and one kazais that became now mutter, and one kazais that's asur. The kazais that's asur is bottle beroiv in the kazaisim that are mutter. If we ever we say miklish kolish, both kazaisim are asur, albeit weakened isur, and we have two kazaisim of isur and one kazais of heter, and we don't say that the heter, that the isur is bottle in the heter. Why does the Gemara give that nafgamina? So the Ramea Arik says, the obvious teretz is that we'll say that nedarim is an item that doesn't become bottle ever. Because we discussed earlier on in the sector, that given the Dharma Dava Shesh Lematirim, you can have a nether that becomes mutter, and a nether that becomes mutter is a Dava Shesh Lematirim, we don't say bittel. But that teret, says Ramea Arik, doesn't really work. Because there, we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem later in our perek, that there are opinions that hold that even though a nether can be annulled by a bezdin, we know, and we're going to discuss this more, that a nether that a husband or a father is making, he confirms, no longer can be annulled. So why don't we say that this nether is not just a nether that was mufer by one, it was mufer by one and annulled by the other, so it's not a davashesh lematirin, because you can no longer annul the nether, and then give our example of the three kazaisim. So Ramea Arik says a very important concept, a fundamental concept in bittel. The concept of bittel, and we've said this concept previously here, is that we have an item that's mutter, or items that are mutter, an item that's asur. We know what's asur, and we know what's mutter. And then they all get mixed up. So we say, under certain circumstances, we're not going to review Hilchos Taruvos today, we're going to, under certain circumstances, we say the concept of bittel. But in a situation that we don't know what's mutter and what's asur, we just know something is mutter and something is asur, since it was never identifiable what is the heter and what is the iser, the concept of taruvis and bittel do not apply. So that's our Gemara Shaila. Do we say when the first party is matter the nether, made for the nether, is a megas gaius or miklish kolish? And it's important to note that our Gemara now is going to begin to quote a long brisa that discusses a very important concept that we're going to introduce in a moment. And in our shiur today, we're not going to come back to the Shaila anymore. Omega's guy is Miklash Kolish. We're going to have to come tomorrow for that, to get back to that Kant's question. Our Gemara now is going to introduce a concept which is known as Nisroikna. Nisroikna means as follows. As we've been saying, by an Arusa, her father and her husband are made from the Dharm together. But what would happen if the husband... If the husband dies, does the father take over his portion, his ability to be mefer, or vice versa? If the father dies, does the husband take over his part? So the halacha is that nesroikna, and the word nesroikna means to pour, empty out. The power of the husband, if he should die, is transferred to the father, under certain circumstances, which our Braisa will articulate. But the power of the husband, the power of the father, can never be taken over by the husband. Many Rishonim, the Ritva says, because it goes back to something we discussed a number of moments ago, the power of the father is always greater. And therefore the father has the ability to take over the husband's power, share, but the father doesn't have the ability to take over, the husband doesn't have the ability to take over the husband's share. And we're going to speak about this at length now. Before we get into the discussion, there's a very interesting Machloikas Rishonim. It refers back to something that we discussed earlier. The Rambam says that the father, certainly of a single girl, can be made for all Nedarim that she makes. A husband can only be made from Nedarim, Beino L'Beino Inu Nefesh. And we said that the Rambam agrees to that. We proved it earlier in the Shia today. Now we have a Machlokes Rishonim. The husband, there was a girl, an Arusa, who had a husband and a father. The husband dies, under the certain examples that we're going to learn. And now, the father takes over his share. What will be the father's rights at that time? Now he's on his own. Could he be made for all Nedarim, like a father who does on his own? Or, since this woman was once an Arusa, and at that time the father was limited only to being able to be made from Nedarim, Abeino Lebeino, and Inu Nefesh, that remains the case, even after the husband dies. It's Machlokes Rishonim. And Rav Shmuel Rizovsky explains the Machlokes Rishonim very beautifully. He explains the lomdus of the Machlokes goes as follows. The shittas that hold that the father now could be made for all Nedarim, understand that when the father now is made for himself, it's not that he's inheriting or taking the husband's power. The Torah says that when the husband is no longer in the picture, he died, the father's on his own. And a father on his own, we learned, can be made for all Nedarim, at least according to the Rambam. The other shittas hold that Nesreikna doesn't tell us that the father's on his own. Nesreikna tells us that there was a share that belonged to the father, there was a share that belonged to the husband. If the husband dies, the father now has both shares. But it's as if he's now the father and the husband at the same time. And when you have a situation of a father and Oris, only in the Dharma of Beinah Lebeinah, and the Dharma of Inu Nefesh could be nullified, no other than the Dharma. So we begin the Braisa. Amos say Omru, when did Chazal say, Meis Habal, Nesnoit Nerushus Lav, that if the husband dies, the father takes over his share, Bizman Shalai Shama Baal Kodim Shiyamas, and if you want to follow the right Girsa in the Gemara, you can look at the Divra Maschel, the last Divra Maschel of the Ran on this Amid. When do we say that the father takes over the husband's Rishos? Bizman Shalai Shama Baal Kodim Shemes. The husband never became aware of this nether prior to his death. Oish Shama Vehefer. The husband died. The husband heard the nether, was made for the nether, and then he passed away. Oish Shama Vishasak. He heard. He was quiet, which, as we explained in the previous year, is the beginning of Akama, but he has to remain silent for the entire day of his hearing, and he died or meis by biyoyim. In all these cases, the halacha is zui shishaninu. This is the case that we learned the concept of meis habal, that if the husband dies, nesnoit the rishos lav. So the Rishonim explain each one of these cases. The first case is quite obvious. The husband never became aware of the nether, passes away, and the father, now we learn the concept of Sreikna, takes over not only his own share, but also the husband's share. Fairly simple. The second case we need to understand. The husband heard the nether, was made for the nether, dies. Then the father hears the nether, and he's made for the nether. So why do we have to rely on the concept of Sreikna? We have a full-fledged afara. The husband was mefer, and the father is mefer. Why do we need to rely on the concept of Nesreikna? Say the Rishonim a very, very important concept. They say that when we speak of afara taking place together with the husband and the father, it's not to be understood that the husband does his and the father does his. And therefore, when the husband was mefer, he's finished. And all we need to wait for is the afara of the husband. That's not true. Of the father. We need that the hafara of the father, the hafara of the husband, which took place first, is not really considered an hafara. It's sort of a hafara that I would explain is like in the ear, that is not able to really be effective until the father does his thing. But now when the father comes to be mefer, the husband's dead. So the hafara of a dead person is meaningless. And therefore, even though the husband was mefer prior to his death, that hafara is a meaningless hafara. Because it wasn't here when we needed it to be, when the father's going to do his hafara. So unless we say the concept of nisroitna, that the father has the ability, if the husband dies, to do the entire hafara, the hafara couldn't be effective. And that's why we say that nisroitna, the father does have the ability. The third case that the Brisa discussed was that the husband heard the nether, but he died, and he was mekai, and he didn't say anything, but he died before the day of hearing ends. Why? Explains the Ran. Because were he to die afterwards, once the Yom Shomai passes, we already have a hakama. Once there's a hakama from the husband, even if we'll have a hafara from the father, it's too little too late. So it must be that he died before the Yom Shomai ended. And the father, the next day heard. But now we have a gevaldig kasha that the Mefarshim ask. Just like we quoted the opinion of the Rambam at the beginning of Ashir, where the Rambam was a mekel, he was lenient, and says that the father can be made for all Nadarim, not like a husband. There's a shchumra of the Rambam that we quoted yesterday. And the Rambam says that a father and a husband who are made for Nadarim together could only be made for Nadarim if they're both made for B'yayim Shammai. We quoted this in the previous year. They have to be made for the same day. So ask the Mefarshim, how will the Rambam understand this Gemara? What's the case that we just learned? The husband heard the nether today, but died before the day is over, and the next day the father is made for the nether. But we said that in order for Hafara to be effective, they have to be made for the same day. Here they're not being made for the same day. So the Mefarshim answer in explaining the Rambam, that even though the Rambam holds that for the hafara of the father and the husband to be effective, that hafara has to take place on the same day, that's when we're talking about a regular case of a father and a husband being mefer. So they both have to be mefer in the same day. Here we're relying on a concept of nisroitna. And how are we going to explain nisroitna, according to the Rambam? That the father has all the power, and the husband really doesn't count. And therefore, even though the nether of the hafara of the father wasn't on the same day as the husband heard the nether, we don't need it to be that way. Even the Rambam will agree we don't need it, because when we're relying on the sreitna, the only one that counts is the father, and the day that he heard is the only day that we take into consideration. The next case of the Braisa, Avalim Shama Vakim, we discussed this already, if the husband heard the nether and he was Mekayimit, or he didn't have to actively be Mekayimit, Shama Vashasak, he heard, and he was quiet. Umeis b'yom shalakrav, the yom shomai passes. So the hakama of the husband is already a hakama. So this nether can no longer be mufah by the father alone, because once one party did hakama, this nether is no longer a nether that could be mufah, and it's too late. There's an interesting shaila that the achronim discuss. We're discussing the mechanics of hafara. What about the mechanics of hakama? Will we say the same shaila, megas gaias miklash kolos by hakama or not? And the Farshim say, based on this gemara, than that. Because this gemara teaches us that hafara, we need both parties. Hakama, you don't need both parties. As soon as you have the hakama of one, the other party's actions don't make a difference. And therefore, even though we're asking how the mechanics of hafara work, the question isn't relevant to hakama. Now we have the next case. Shama Avia, her father heard the nether, for Haifala, and he was made for the nether. V'lehispik ba'al l'shmaya at shemei sa'av. And the husband never heard the nether before the father passed away. Zui shishaninu, this is a case that we learned, mei sa'av, that if the father passes away, lo nisroitna l'shustabal. So Rishayim ask, if the Brice is trying to teach us that the power of the father doesn't go to the husband, why does it make a difference if the husband heard the nether before the father died or didn't hear of the nether before the father died. The point is that the husband can't take over the father's share. So some Rishonim say it really doesn't make a difference. The Brayse is just thinking about all the cases, but we shouldn't spend time paying attention to it. But of course, most Rishonim don't follow that opinion. Every word of the Gemara is Kodesh HaKadoshim, is holy, and we have to understand. So they explain the Gemara in the following way. The Ran explains the Gemara this way. Shom Aviva Hefala. We have a case here where the father heard the nether. When the father heard the nether, the husband didn't hear of the nether at all. And the father heard of the nether. He was the only party that was aware of the nether. And he was made for the nether. So that hafara, says the Ran, is an extremely powerful hafara. There was nobody else even aware of the nether. So what's left of the nether is very little. And therefore, I would think, says the Ran, that even though we normally don't give the husband power when the father's not here, here, since so little of the nether is left over, maybe the husband should be able to get that power. Teaches us the Braisa, never does the husband get that power, and therefore, even if there's so little of the nether left over, doesn't make a difference. However, here we have the other case. Shama Baal of a Hefala. The husband heard of the nether, and he was made for the nether. But the father never heard of it before the husband died away. This is the case that we learned, the meis habal, that if the husband dies, the father takes over. And again, we repeat what we said earlier. The husband was already made for, so all we need is the afar of the father. So as we said at the bottom of Amud Aleph, since the hafara, when the father is taking place, the husband's already dead, the hafara of that husband was really not considered an hafara because it was really in the ear waiting for the father's hafara, and it can't be effective if he's dead already. But here too we have the question, why does the Braisa have to speak about a case that when the husband was mefer, the father wasn't aware of the husband's hafara? And what is if he was aware? What's the difference? So we have three approaches in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim, as I said a moment ago, Tosfos' opinion, says it really doesn't make a difference. The Braisa picks that case, but it doesn't make a difference. The Rosh says, a gevaldige teretz, beautiful mahalach. The Rosh says that I would think that where do we say nisroikna, that the father has the ability to take over the share of the husband, where potentially they could have been made for together. Meaning that the husband heard of the nether and the father heard of the nether. So potentially they could have both been made for. And the husband was made for and the father wasn't. But what would be, says the Rosh, in a case where the husband heard of the nether and was made for the nether and died before the father ever became aware of the nether. So they could have never been made for together. Because the father only became aware of the nether after the husband died. So since there, they could have never even potentially been in the nether together. Perhaps I should say that we don't say the concept of Nisroikna. Teaches us the Braisa, the power of the concept of Nisroikna, that even in a case where they could have never been nether together, we still say Nisroikna. That's the Rosh's opinion. Beautiful pshat. The Ran has a different opinion, which we'll appreciate more in tomorrow's share. He says that in the case over here, where a husband became aware of the nether, was made for the nether, without the father being aware of the nether, the husband's hafara was a very, very strong hafara, because the father's really not a party here. He wasn't even aware of the nether. I may say, says the Ran, and it's based on the Gemara we're going to learn tomorrow, that in a very weak nether, that nether doesn't have the power, since it's so weak, to go on to the father. And we shouldn't say Nisroikna. Teaches us the Braisa, even though the wet nether has so been weakened, because the husband did a very powerful afara, we still say Nisroikna. The last case that we're going to learn today. Shama Baal of a Hefala. The husband heard and he was mefer. V'lo hispik a Baal l'shmoya. And the father never heard of the nether achimes. the father never heard of the neder, and died, ain't a bal yochel hafer, still the husband can't be made for himself, shein a bal mefer el b'shutfus, a husband always can be made for only together with the father, and here the father died before he was made for. So we have to point out a wording of the Gemara, of this case, and that will help us understand the case. Our Brice that we're learning speaks about the concept of Nisroikna. Do we apply the concept of Nisroikna? Do we not apply the concept of Nisroikna? And here, clearly, we're not applying the concept of Nisroikna, as we haven't in previous cases. But now the question is, if that's what the Brice wants to teach us, why doesn't the Brice just say the words like it said previously? Loi Nisroikna was Shusabal, that the husband doesn't take over. Those weren't the words of the Gemara. The words of the Gemara is, Shein abal meif el b'shutfus. What does the Gemara change? What does the Brisa change its terminology? That we do say Nisroikna, don't say Nisroikna. Explains the Ritva. What is the Brisa teaching us in this case? The Brisa is teaching us in this case the following. When the husband was meifer in this case, his hafara was a very strong hafara. Why was his hafara such a strong hafara? Because the father wasn't aware of the nether at all. And since the father wasn't aware of the nether at all, when the husband was meifer, because he is the only person that's aware of the nether, it's an extremely powerful afara. And then the father dies. So I would think, since there was a very powerful afara that took place, there's very little left over. So even if I don't say Nisroikna, but that little that's left over, let the husband do. Not because of Nisroikna. Because Nisroikna, we never give to the husband. Tells us the Braisa, no. You know why? Because she'ein habal made for el b'shutfus. A husband can never be made for the nether of an arusa by himself. Here the father wasn't made for. It makes no difference how strong or how weak the nether is. A husband can never be made for el b'shutfus. And that's why this nether cannot be mufer.
Did you ever order that furniture from my office?
Those chairs, people.
Yeah.
Want to
follow up on that, please?
Here.
So the red light come up.
It's not plugged in?
It's kept going.
Oh, you know why? Because he didn't put on the power switch.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, look. You see, the power switch is not on. Pretty simple. Yeah.